Of course, one of the things that's occupying an awful lot of press time these days, and press is getting a lot of coverage, concerns the war and wars in Central America, specifically the war in Nicaragua between the Contra mercenaries and the Sandinista government there. A small article about that appeared in the San Jose Mercury News on Sunday, September 1st, 1985, a week ago today. In the National News in Brief section, in Dateline Washington, we find the following story. Nicaraguan rebels get Polish rifles, U.S. says. Nicaraguan resistance forces recently received a shipment of 10,000 Polish-made AK-47 rifles as part of a weapons deal worth an estimated $6 million, U.S. officials say. According to one official, the shipment was sent from the Bulgarian port of Burgas, B-U-R-G-A-S, and reached the resistance forces via a Latin American country hostile to the leftist Sandinista government. The country was not identified. Well, the combination of Bulgarian arms and Polish arms and so forth is something that we've looked at in the past. Of course, one of the aspects of the Mediterranean merry-go-round that we've been looking at is an arms for drug smuggling ring called Stibom, very much involved with the shooting of the Pope. We're not going to go over all or even most of Stibom. Suffice it to say that Stibom rented its offices from Banco Ambrosiano's Milan branch. Remember that because we're going to come back to that. It was located right above those offices, and many members of the P2 Lodge, Roberto Calvi, the Banco Ambrosiano chairman, also Vatican financial advisor, was a member of P2, as was his predecessor as Vatican financial advisor, Michele Sindona. P2 and the Vatican inextricably linked, and the arms for drugs ring Stibom also very much involved with P2 and with the Banco Ambrosiano through a couple of different sources, and perhaps most significantly, the Stibom arms for drugs ring had several, a large number of intersections with U.S. intelligence. According to an NSA and perhaps CIA operative named Glauco Partel, this arms for drugs smuggling ring was, for all intents and purposes, an extension of the U.S. State Department and intelligence services. Looking at the Polish-made AK-47 rifles coming from Bulgaria to the Contras is something which raises questions, and in connection with the arrest of a South Bay man here, Paul Saklosha, we asked the question whether this Stibom or some part of that network might have been revived.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about some of the things having to do with this in terms of the larger picture and Stibom and these other groups and their involvement in things. Now, of course, one of the things that we've also talked about a great deal in regards to this whole thing is the so-called Bulgarian connection, the theory that the KGB were the ones who tried to off Pope John Paul II. Now, besides the fact of having to take into account the source, besides having to consider the source, where most of these most strenuous allegations have come from people like Claire Sterling and Michael Ledeen, who among themselves are connected fairly strongly into the right wing of Italian politics, and also connected. Claire Sterling gets her information from groups like the pre-civilian government Argentinian Secret Service, the Chilean Secret Service, the South African Secret Service, the BOSS, and others.
There was a great series of articles in the Wall Street Journal about a month or so ago, which we didn't have a chance to get to because our break came, but it's on the front page of the journal. I'll get you the dates next week, but two front page stories back to back by Jonathan Quitney, who wrote a book called Endless Enemies that we use from time to time on this program, where it talked about the intersections between some of the people pushing the Bulgarian thesis, specifically Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling, to many of the P2 people involved in this whole tangle of scandals in Italy. And some of the comments that Quitney had about Claire Sterling were particularly revealing. The journal called her up and confronted her with all of the information linking her to these people, and she hung up without answering and apparently was very, very angry. So we'll give you the dates on those articles next week, and perhaps if we get a thin week news-wise, we'll go back and recap those for you. But on the front page of the Wall Street Journal is a great pair of articles. I've forgotten whether it was late July or early August, but linked many of the Bulgarian thesis hustlers specifically to this whole tangle we're talking about.
Indeed. Now, one of the things that is used, that is cited as evidence in these kinds of situations, is a lot of times is where the weaponry comes from. And, of course, you know, this whole complicated procedure was used to, again, using the Kennedy assassination as an example, a whole very complicated and, as it turns out, rather suspect series of conclusions was used to link Lee Harvey Oswald to the murder weapon, so-called, and thus to make the case of him as the assassin. Now, one of the interesting things is that we know who provided the weapon that Mehmet Ali Agha used to try and assassinate Pope John Paul II. It was a man by the name of Horst Grillmeyer, and it came by way of a couple of other interesting connections, a man named Bekir Chalenk and Frank Turpel, former CIA agent. Now, one of the interesting things when you talk about this whole Bulgarian connection and things like that is that the allegations that have been made are that the Bulgarians themselves were involved in this, acting on behalf of the KGB. What we find, though, as we investigate these things, is a whole bunch of false trails. And one of the false trails that turns up in these things has to do with who's working for whom. And one of them, of course, concerns a man by the name I mentioned earlier, Horst Grillmeyer, the man who provided the gun that Mehmet Ali Agha used. Horst Grillmeyer is an Austrian arms merchant. It later turned out that one of the other things that Horst Grillmeyer does is bring Dragunov rifles across the Czechoslovakian border into West Germany, and there was a suggestion at the time that a shipment from Horst Grillmeyer was busted at the West German border, that the Czechoslovakians, like the Bulgarians supposedly do, are trying to foment unrest in the West and are sending in weapons to arm the leftists and the terrorists. Well, as it turned out, that particular shipment of Dragunov rifles, again, communist-made Czechoslovakian rifles were being, Russian-made, I believe, were being brought in by the West German BND, the West German CIA. So bear that in mind as we read a section of the article. Now, this is Horst Grillmeyer's shipment was being brought in for the West German CIA, but they were Eastern European weapons, just like the Polish Eastern European weapons, the AK-47s that are showing up with the Contras, the Somocistas,
in Nicaragua, but specifically with the Bulgarian port of Burgas as their point of embarkation.
Exactly. Now, again, we're going to read a short section of an article in Reader's Digest, of all things. Now, interestingly enough, Reader's Digest, because a lot of their information was developed originally from Claire Sterling and people like this, have taken what seems to be, to us, to be the truth of the whole matter and set it basically on its ear. They have just flip-flopped everything, but even they find a couple of things rather difficult to explain. And here's just a short section telling one of the things that they find difficult to explain at the bottom of this whole thing. Incredibly enough, Nathan Adams of Reader's Digest writes in Guns for Drugs, the Bulgarian connection, incredibly enough, Western nations, perhaps unwittingly, have actually contributed to the conspiracy. For example, until recently, the CIA, via a German broker, was purchasing millions of dollars of Eastern Bloc weapons to equip anti-Sandinista guerrillas in Nicaragua. The weapons were supplied by Kintex. Kintex is the Bulgarian export firm that's been used as a fall guy, or in fact has been involved to some extent, but has been used as being proof positive of a vast KGB plot. Now, real quickly, just to explain what this means, to think about this. Okay, we've got, first of all, we've got the West German, the BND, setting up buys of Russian weapons to be brought out of Czechoslovakia for some purpose that we don't know, from the same gun dealer who sold Mehmet Ali Agha's gun that was used to assassinate the Pope. Okay, we have the connections between the CIA through West Germany buying weapons to ship to the anti-Sandinista Contras for, again, unknown purposes. Why? The United States is the world's biggest exporter of weapons. Why do they have to buy them? And certainly that we have lots of sympathetic people in Europe. Why do we have to buy these weapons from Poland? What else are they being used for? And as we're going to see later, there's a hard connection between the Vatican Bank, aforementioned, and some of their weird loans, and the Somocistas, the self-same Somoza, that the supporters of whom are now fighting the Sandinista government in Nicaragua at the express wishes of the Reagan administration.
So now compare the Mercury article from September 1st of 85 with this Reader's Digest article from November of 83, and intersect those two in turn With the following article, I'm going to review a short section of this. We read this some weeks back or some months back. This is from the French publication Le Matin of June 23rd of 1984. Now, Le Matin, or perhaps it's June 22nd, I'm not sure. The date is unclear. At any rate, June 22nd or 23rd. The research credit for this and the following article goes to Ted Rubenstein, an excellent researcher from Palo Alto who's been sharing his work with us for a number of years now. Translation credit goes to Jonathan Marshall, currently the editorial page editor of the Oakland Tribune. Again, from Le Matin, June 23rd, I believe, 1984. Talking about Henry Arsan, the DEA informant and the head of this arms for drugs ring, and in turn, his and Stibom's intersection with the Polish government, and specifically involving the shipment of Polish arms, including Kalashnikovs, the AK-47s. Again, Le Matin writing. Oh, the article was authored by a man named Calvi. I've forgotten his first name, but all three articles were written by a man named Calvi, no relation to Roberto Calvi. About Henry Arsan, Stibom, and the Polish government and arms trafficking. Arsan also served as intermediary between the Polish government and that of South Yemen to sell 56 tons of arms, 500 Kalashnikovs and 5,000 Tokarevs. Tokarevs is a Soviet-manufactured machine pistol, also hand pistols. But why did the Polish government use Arsan? Why did Arsan supply the Polish government with false documents attesting that the arms were destined for the Emirate of Qatar? Erdem got the response from Arsan's mouth. Erdem is explained below. That's a guy named Tegmen Erdem, a Turkish associate of Arsan's. Erdem got the response from Arsan's mouth. They explained that they didn't want the Soviets to know about the operations so that they wouldn't get a percentage. The Poles had a pressing liquidity problem. This deal brought them $1,800,000. Still, according to Tegmen Erdem, E-R-D-E-M, the first negotiations of which he was a part took place at the seat of the Polish ambassador in Vienna. Besides Arsan, the Polish delegation was composed of a functionary from the defense ministry named Andrzej Urbaniak, U-R-B-A-N-I-A-C. The sellers represented by Arsan, Tegmen Erdem and two Syrians associated with Arsan. Those two were named Abu Daoud, D-A-O-U-D, called Georges, and Mustafa Zenedine, Zenedin. So Arsan, the Polish government, have been involved in the past with the trafficking of Kalashnikovs. We've seen from as far right a source as Reader's Digest that apparently, unwittingly, according to Reader's Digest, the CIA has been involved with getting Kalashnikovs, weapons from Bulgaria and Kintex, to the Contras in Nicaragua. And now we've seen from Le Matin that, indeed, Arsan and the Polish government have been involved with weapons deals before, and specifically with the trafficking of Kalashnikovs.
That's right. So before we get back to Nicaragua again for a moment, bear in mind that the one thing that this does suggest very strongly, and again, this is such a complicated case that we can't just lay out any simple solutions as to what means what, but what this does suggest is that there's a very strong open pipeline between Western intelligence and certain elements of the weapons trade in Eastern Europe, whether these be actual governmental organizations or quasi-governmental organizations or sub-governmental organizations, namely anti-governmental organizations who happen to be members of the government, which is also possible. We don't know, but we do know that these connections are strong and that they appear to be ongoing. Okay.
We've also looked in the past at some associates of Frank Turpel, two gentlemen named Lisbona and Berg, and their involvement in obtaining and trafficking with arms with the Polish government. In fact, we had that on our Radio Free America number 4. Again, two names intersecting with this whole tangle here.
Okay, now, again, this is another article translated by Jonathan Marshall, provided by Ted Rubenstein. This is from L'Espresso, an Italian news magazine, from October 9th, 1983. And again, it's a translation, so the grammar is a little strange in places. It says, the Vatican paid billions of lira to Somoza. Of course, that's Anastasio Somoza, the former president for life of Nicaragua, who the Sandinistas overthrew. Vatican paid billions of lira to Somoza. This is a new chapter in the secret affairs of IOR, that's the Institute for Religious Works, the Vatican Bank, headed up by Archbishop Paul Marcinkus. The judge investigating the Calvi-Ambrosiano case is looking into it. Flavio Carboni, the confidant of Calvi, revealed it. After referring to the finances of IOR, again the Vatican Bank, that ended up in the coffers of Solidarity, Carboni added new particulars. To Judge Ferdinando Imposimato, the builder said that, according to Roberto Calvi, Marcinkus, again, that's American Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, lavished tens of billions of lira on Anastasio Somoza. And that's not all. Again, according to Calvi, as told by Carboni, Marcinkus's experts participated in the drawing up of the Nicaraguan constitution promulgated by Somoza. Paul VI wasn't aware of all this. Calvi threatened to make this and other affairs public if the Vatican Bank didn't come through with the letter of patronage to cover the debts of Ambrosiano. Calvi was well acquainted with Somoza's affairs. From Somoza, Calvi got a diplomatic passport and was accredited to the Geneva seat of the UN. Those familiar with the facts say that Somoza's loyalty to Calvi and Marcinkus was unlimited. Not only the Constitution, but the laws covering banks in Nicaragua were prepared in Italy in a Milan office of Ambrosiano. Okay, a couple of things to mention real quickly. That last reference, the Milan office of the Banco Ambrosiano, was of course also the headquarters of the STIBAM Guns for Drugs Network, headed by Henri Arsen, that we talked about earlier. Interesting, it looks that Roberto Calvi attempted to make a sort of a blackmail threat to Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, according to this article. Calvi, of course, wound up dead with bricks in his pocket hanging underneath the Blackfriars Bridge in London, England. Perhaps Calvi threatened the wrong man. Paul Marcinkus is known as Il Gorilla, and he also is from Cicero, Illinois, the boyhood hometown of Al Capone. Again, though, just one more time to look at that connection there. We were talking earlier about the millions of dollars worth of weaponry going into Nicaragua from Eastern Europe through the Central Intelligence Agency. We talked also about the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency has other connections into Europe to set up arms deals, according to the Reader's Digest, that noted Pinko Rag. And according to this L'Espresso article, the Vatican was literally paying billions of lira to Anastasio Somoza, and that Roberto Calvi and Paul Marcinkus, even more importantly, were intimately linked with Anastasio Somoza and his regime in Nicaragua. So that connection again, the Somocistas, the Contras, to the CIA, to the Vatican, to Eastern Europe, just adds another dimension onto the whole Mediterranean merry-go-round.
Well, I think that about does it. Again, this is by all of these articles showing Vatican Bank involvement with South Africa and the STIBAM intersection with the Contras by way of showing people, perhaps if people are a little puzzled as to why we keep going back to this, it's terribly important. These are just some of the areas that it touches on. Note also that funds were channeled to Solidarity from the same organization.